is an island where rivers run deep.
Where the sea, sparkling in the sun, earns it the name Jewel of the Antilles.
An island where the poorest of peasants labor.
And the wealthiest of grand old play.
Two different worlds on one island.
The Grand Orme with their pale brown skins and their French ways. Owners of the land and masters of their own fate.
And the peasants, black as night, eternally at the mercy of the wind and the sea. Who pray constantly to the gods.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. The tour of the Tony Award-winning revival of the musical Once on This Island will be at Proctor's in Schenectady, New York on Friday, January 17th and Saturday, January 18th. The Lynn Aaron Stephen Flaherty musical, directed by Michael Arden and choreographed by Camille A. Brown, tells the story of the orphan Timoun and four competitive gods who make a wager over her life and her love. Once on This Island is a celebration tinged with sadness that emphasizes the importance of telling everyone's stories. Tyler Hardwick plays Daniel. He joins the tour after playing a storyteller and understudying two roles during the show's run on Broadway, and he joins us now. Tyler, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Tell me about your level of familiarity with the show before you auditioned for the revival. Did you know it before you heard about this revival?
I'm embarrassed to admit that I actually did not know whole bunch about the show.
You can't know everything. That's all right.
Yeah, you can't know everything. And I was doing a show with Lynn Aaron and Stephen Flaherty, a different show called Marie Dancing Still. And it was a great way to meet them. And then that brought me to Once on This Island. And I then realized that it was a perfect show for me. And that's why I did it on Broadway and I'm back doing it on tour. So
tell me what it is about the show that makes it perfect for you and has made it resonate so much with audiences.
Oh my gosh. I think it's such a beautiful story, and it promotes, you know, love and empowerment and following your destiny and just having faith beyond what you see. And I believe that it resonates, especially in our country right now, in our political climate and our humanity climate, have you. I think it's definitely time for a story like this to hopefully transcend the hearts of America, and I think we're doing that so far.
For other people who might not be familiar with it, what is the story? Tell me more about the story of the show.
So pretty much it is a story about a young girl, Timoun, who is from a very poor small village, who then sets off on this journey after a car accident of my character, Daniel Bazome, and it's two different classes. There's colorism that separate these worlds. And she, you know, follows her faith and her destiny to go help me, have you?
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, the four gods are very magical. It's a fairy tale. And she is guided by them to help her fulfill her destiny. And she comes to the other side of the island to continue to save my life. Otherwise, the sly demon of death, Papa Gay, will have my life. And she doesn't want that because she's fallen in love with me. And her entire community advises her not to go. And through her journey, she touches the hearts of so many people and, you know, touches the hearts of an entire community and brings these communities together. And it's a story of love. It's a story of passion. It's a story of, you know, dedication, which is something that I think everyone can relate to, you know, in some way or another.
Timoun and the gods drive the main action of the story. They make almost everything happen. But of course, Daniel has an important role to play, too. You have a lot to do. And tell us about your character arc, please.
I do, yeah. I'm of the Bazome family. And, you know, we have certain customs. We are very wealthy. We have, you know, ties to France. It takes place in Haiti, so there's a lot of French influence. And I get in a car accident, and I'm, you know, not sure who necessarily takes care of me until it comes to fruition later when she arrives at my mansion. And, you know, through time, as she's healing me, I fall in love with her. And where the conflict lies is I have an arranged marriage. And it brings me to a very, very hard decision where I have to choose between this arranged marriage. Do I stay with, you know, what my family is putting upon me and walk the course that was set, you know, for me? Or do I leave everything, which, you know, for love, which is also a conflict because, you know, when you make that decision, you are now financially solo, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a very hard decision to make at 17 years old. So it's definitely a fork in the road. And when you come to the show, you'll realize what decision I make.
Right.
And that is where the conflict lies.
Definitely. Definitely. After the car accident, you have to play unconscious on stage for a little while. And this is just sort of asking you how, as an actor, that feels. What is on your mind? Or do you get to sort of tune out while you are lying there?
No, because, you know, you're on stage. You're always active, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would never let my mind, you know, be completely dead. I don't think that's possible for me.
Sure.
But I also get rained on. We have real elements in our show. There's real sand, there's real fire, real water. I get rained on. So I'm also very cold after this happens.
Oh, I bet.
I'm wearing, you know, very light clothing and, you know, because the climate in the show is hot. So I get rained on. So I don't think I, you know, doze off just because I'm very freezing after this point. So I'm very active in my mind. But yeah, you know, I'm unconscious and I come, you know, in and out of this trauma, this pain. You know, when you're in a car accident, you know, you can be unconscious and then the next minute you come back to consciousness and, you know, in and out. So there's I'm dipping in and out of those moments.
Is there, for the Broadway run and for the tour, was there special safety considerations for the cast because you are dealing with these elements and very often dancing gorgeously and furiously on loose sand on the stage?
No, thank you for asking that. Yeah, they take very good care of us. You know, we walk through the space. We always have an orientation at every new city. The crew works endless hours to make sure that we're all safe because we're barefoot most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So they definitely have a very safe process in making sure everything is, you know, the nuts and bolts are perfect and nothing's on the floor and the sand is the last element to be added. So they know that the floor is clean and safe. And then when it comes to dancing on the sand, you know, it's just, you have to navigate it with your body. It's never the same. Just like when you're walking on the beach, you know, your body's always overcompensating for getting level ground. So, you know, it's just something that you kind of get used to and it becomes like a special skill.
It seems like it would be particularly tiring.
Yeah, it is. It is very tiring, but I think we build up a stamina and, you know, Broadway and musicals are another form of, I like to say, the Olympics.
Sure.
People don't really see the work or the craft that goes into it, but it's definitely the Olympics. It's 8 shows a week. So we definitely are magical.
How did you find out that there would be a tour of the production and then that you would get to be a part of it?
I was in the Broadway company, the original Broadway company.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we kind of get word that it's going to happen. And when a show is, you know, successful, especially when there's a Tony Award attached
mm-hmm.
for Best Revival, you kind of assume and hope for the best that there's a tour, that, you know, something's going to happen. And I just kept my antennas up and I just expressed my interest that I would love to continue telling the story. And I'm so blessed and grateful that they bumped me up to play one of the leads,
mm-hmm.
the male interest. So it's just nice to remain in the family. And I always joke around. I always think that, like, you know, I'm in the Lynn Ahrens and Stephen Flaherty family because I've, you know, done 2 shows, but I've done Marie Dancing Still twice with them and now this twice with them. So I just feel like I'm always, you know, in their wheelhouse of work. And I couldn't be happier to work with them. They are just the greatest 2 individuals you'll ever meet. And so inspiring and so, so gracious and so incredible. You know, I when you come see their work, you just see how much love and passion that they have for, you know, the world and their industry and it shows. And everyone that ever is in their shows just absolutely loves to do, you know, to try to honor their work as much as we can, you know?
Of course. How much of the company is the same? How many more of your family from Broadway are joining you on the road?
Myself and four others, so five total, are coming back from Broadway.
And what is it like to have the rest of the company be new, the rest of the people surrounding you be joining it at this stage?
It's great. You know, it's just like you're getting new family members. You know, it's like you're expanding story, you're expanding the legacy of the story. So, and it's something that we're all very used to in this business. You know, people come, people go, and you just find a new, you know, like what's our new dynamic. And I think we've created something very, very unique and special to our company. And it's beautiful. And when you see it, you'll definitely feel the love that we have. We have such a blast on stage, and we're working our butts off. So I think it'll be a great time. You know, you don't want to miss it.
Can you tell me about what it is like practically to understudy on Broadway? I know you've been bumped up. You're the lead now and you get to go on in the role every night. But when you were understudying on Broadway, what is that like? What kind of notice do you get? How do you keep up on the role without being able to perform it regularly?
I don't want to think about those days. I'm just kidding. It's very difficult, you know. It's like being like the interim president, have you? You know, it's temporary, and you have to keep it fresh. You know, the hardest part for me was just never knowing, mm-hmm. you know. You always have to be prepared, and people don't really understand how mentally exhausting that can be. And just staying healthy, and you know, you don't really build up a muscle memory for each track. I mean, at one point I did, because I, you know, was there for the entire run, and I was on more than half the time in some track or another.
Okay.
A track is like a role within the musical.
Right.
So I built up a muscle memory, but still, you know, myself doing this track now for 5 months straight is, you know, it's so in my body where, you know, it's habitual and it just happens, you know, and you just have to be present in the moment and you know, you're free to bounce around the box, you know. But when you're understudying, you know, you're trying to also do what was said and take the notes and there's just a lot of juggling in the mind, and it's great when you get to go on and usually people are really, really supportive in the community, and they love to see the understudies. And it's really, really sweet when people support the understudies. It's a thankless job, but it was really, really fun. And I don't think I'll be doing it again, but it definitely taught me so much. And I learned so much about how much my mind can handle.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you just have to always practice at home and keep the show fresh in your mind and do the best you can, you know, and don't dwell on the mistakes that you make, you know, just keep moving on and don't crash the ship.
You mentioned having to stay healthy. Is there a challenge to staying healthy when you're on the road, driving or flying from city to city and everything?
Yes, it's so hard. It's something that I'm continuously learning, you know, it's a learning curve. From the plane, from, you know, that recycled air and, you know, the bacteria on planes, as we know, is not the cleanest. And, you know, I try to eat well and cook, and, you know, sometimes you're in hotel rooms, so you get, you know, the hot plate and the mm-hmm. fan and you do the best you can. And I go to the gym as much as I can, and we have trunks on the road, so you'll have to pack up your stuff. You know, like the hot plate, the stuff that you're not going to travel with on the plane, you have to put those in the trunks by Saturday, and we leave Monday. So, you know, you're always kind of like planning like all these things that you're lugging back and forth to your hotel room and back. So it definitely is just a lot of planning.
I apologize for not knowing this. Have you toured before?
Yeah. I have, but I only toured in this production for 3 months, maybe four, in the first time I toured. This is the first time I'm going to be doing, you know, a tour in its entirety. And also with this role, I do have to take off my shirt.
Right.
Full disclosure.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit more of a focus on the gym, where maybe, you know, when I was in my other tour, I was physically healthy and healthy, but I didn't have as much pressure, I would say,
mm-hmm.
to look a certain way, or, you know, to cook and be eating the right things. But with this particular tour, it there's a lot more pressure to just, you know, be happy in my skin and look my best and be healthy and, you know, confident. But I will say I enjoyed many a cookies on this holiday break and through New Year's. I would never deprive myself of a holiday cookie. I don't think anyone ever should.
Is the pressure to stay cut, to keep looking your absolute, you know, physical best, does that come from you mostly, or is the production required? Is there an appearance clause that says you have to stay looking really, really fit?
I think it comes from us. I do, you know. But, you know, there's, of course, like contractual guidelines. You know, when you audition and you get fitted for costumes, you can't
right.
drastically change physically just because, think about it, it costs money to make those alterations and some of those costume pieces. You know, it is someone's design. It's someone's craft. It's someone's artwork. You know, Clint Ramos, who is the costume designer for Broadway and the tour, did amazing work. You know, he's incredible. And, you know, you have to honor those designs, and you have to, you know, so it's not like, because sometimes they find custom pieces or they tailor things to you, and it takes a lot of time. And sometimes you can't just replace them, you know, like
mm-hmm.
it's not that easy, especially our show. We call it, we hurricane them, which means, you know, you make the clothes dirty and worn out. So it's very, very specific. So, yeah, you can't, like, drastically change physically, which I think is understandable in any show. That's a given. But I think each person has, you know, performers are very, very typically healthy people. And like I said, we're like Olympians in our field. So just like, Olympians have to be at their best, we also try to be at our best, you know, for you.
The tour of the Tony Award-winning revival of the musical Once on This Island will be at Proctor's in Schenectady, New York on Friday, January 17th at 8 p.m. and Saturday, January 18th at 2 p.m. and 8 p.m. Tyler Hardwick plays Daniel in the show. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.